No red carpet, no black gowns. But President Trump tweeted a link to his fake news award winners Wednesday night, as promised. The link itself was to the Republican National Committee website. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The introductions to the awards stated 2017 was a year of unrelenting bias, unfair news coverage, and even downright fake news, it went on to say. Studies have shown that over 90% of the media's coverage of President Trump is negative. Gleb Ziberski is an assistant professor in the history of behavioral science at The Ohio State University and president of the nonprofit Intentional Insights. He also helped create the Pro-Truth Pledge, which aims to encourage politicians to be more truthful and civil. Gleb, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be back on WPR.
What was your initial reaction to these awards?
My initial reaction was that I wasn't surprised that Trump announced them. So a number of people thought that he wouldn't announce them. But I think he set up the situation in such a way as to draw a lot of attention to these awards. And they were actually quite popular. So the website crashed soon after he announced them. They weren't prepared for the flood of traffic. So there was quite a lot of interest in the awards from around, from the media, from the public.
And so when the website was back up, and it took about an hour or so, when you went to see the award winners, what did you think of the presentation and the results, so to speak?
So the results were quite in line with what I thought they would be. The only thing I was surprised by was that the first number one award was given to a columnist for an opinion piece. That's not news, actually. So it's kind of a little bit contradictory that you would have the first piece, the first award, be given to a piece of opinion. So, but the rest of them were given to news articles that depicted President Donald Trump in an unflattering light. And so that was very much not surprising that this is the kind of awards that were given, because Trump is well known for using the label fake news to describe news stories that he doesn't like.
Comedians have used the fake news awards as fodder for jokes. We think of the Stephen Colbert Show late night campaign for fakest dishonesty and dishonestness corruption on a billboard in Times Square. But you write that the effects of these awards could actually be very serious. What might some of the impact be of the fake news awards, in your opinion?
So, indeed, the awards have drawn mockery, and the comedians that you mentioned actually fought with each other for who should be nominated for the most fakest news awards and so on. And, you know, it's funny, it's amusing to watch that. But unfortunately, most people who are engaging with the news are not very well aware or informed news consumers. So while many of the listeners of this show would tend to be more informed news consumers, that's not what the average population is like when they're consuming news. They mostly get their news actually from headlines. That's what research shows. So when they get their news from headlines, that's a really big problem for the impressions they get from awards. Awards as a ceremony are set up to promote any cause. You know, Nobel Prize promotes scientific achievements, the Oscars promote movies, the Emmys promote television, and the fake news awards creates an impression that there is a major problem with fake news and promotes this idea. And that's one. And the second is that it sets up the grantor of the awards as the only voice of legitimacy, with the Nobel Prize for scientific and cultural achievements and with the fake news awards for who gets to determine what is fake news. And so Trump positions himself as the sole voice of legitimacy, of authority on what constitutes fake news.
The news outlet Vox this morning was breaking down the fake news awards, and I'm going to read you a quote. It said, "But it's worth pausing to consider what President Trump is attempting and, in some cases, accomplishing. The President of the United States is going after a free press and, in doing so, is sowing distrust in facts." What would be your reaction to that?
So he is indeed going after the free press and is sowing distrust in facts. Indeed, his administration is well known for coming up with the phrase alternative facts in comparison to actual facts. He is, and this is part of a broader agenda on President Donald Trump's part to position himself against the media and thus make himself appear to be the sole voice of authority, the sole voice of truth, because he can get to his audience through social media. And this is part of a broader disruption that social media has brought to the information ecosystem. Now, according to studies, about 66% or so of people are getting their news from social media. About 20% of people are getting most of their news from social media. And this is according to recent studies by the Knight Foundation and others. And politicians like Donald Trump and others are able to get to their audience through social media, bypassing traditional mainstream news. So it's to his advantage to undermine the news media, because then he can get directly to his audience and convince them of whatever he wants them to believe without the filter of the news media to question and analyze his commentary and what he wants the audience to believe.
We're exploring the behavioral science aspect of the fake news awards announced last night. Gleb Ziberski is with us. He helped create the Pro-Truth Pledge, which aims to encourage politicians to be more truthful and civil. He's an assistant professor in the history of behavioral science at the Ohio State University. You can join in with your reaction to the fake news awards at 800-642-1234. What do you think the effects of the fake news awards will be for the media? What do you think of holding an annual fake news awards? What does fake news mean to you? 800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Gleb, the fake news awards were presented on GOP.com, which is the official website of the Republican National Committee. The awards were also attributed to Team GOP, not to President Trump or a particular author. GOP.com features a blog, petitions for the president's causes. How do you think the fact that the fake news awards were rolled out on an official platform with official support from Team GOP will affect how news consumers understand the situation and understand these awards?
So I don't think it will actually impact them that much, because it will be very closely tied to President Trump, who is obviously a Republican president, and closely tied to the Republican Party. Now, we can see that there are a number of prominent Republicans who have not been behind President Trump's fake news awards. So Senator Flake, for example, has criticized the fake news awards as attacking the free media on the Senate floor. And Senator McCain has also criticized President Donald Trump's fake news awards.
Let's hear Senator Flake.
The enemy of the people was how the President of the United States called the free press in 2017. Mr. President, it is a testament to the condition of our democracy that our own president uses words infamously spoken by Joseph Stalin to describe his enemies. And of course, the president has it precisely backward. Despotism is the enemy of the people. The free press is the despot's enemy, which makes the free press the guardian of democracy. When a figure in power reflexively calls any press that doesn't suit him fake news, it is that person who should be the figure of suspicion, not the press.
Gleb, go ahead.
I think that this is an accurate statement in terms of how authoritarians have taken power traditionally over time. So when we see what is happening right now in Turkey with Recep Erdogan, he took power as a democratic president, and then slowly over time he started attacking the free press, and that was the first steps to his current authoritarian takeover, where he is more and more taking authoritarian power. And of course, we see the late stage of this in Russia, where President Vladimir Putin came to power as a democratic president in around 2000, in 2000 actually, on Christmas Day, December actually, 31st of 1999. And then he started by attacking the free press in much the same way that Donald Trump has done. And now he has taken over authoritarian power, which doesn't mean that Donald Trump will go in that direction. Just to be clear, that's a one potential pathway.
And we're going to pause right there. The New York Times won first place for an op-ed about President Trump's effects on the markets published right after the election. We're talking about the fake news awards announced last night with Gleb Ziberski. He stays with us. He's an assistant professor in the history of behavioral science at The Ohio State University. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll return after a news update. President Trump's fake news awards announced last night is a collection of some of the biggest journalistic errors of the past year. The aftermath of the stories listed also shows news organizations' commitment to setting the record straight. In almost every case, media outlets issued corrections. When reporters made mistakes, they acknowledged them repeatedly. In one instance, the reporters and editors involved resigned. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're exploring the behavioral science aspect of such awards with Gleb Ziberski. He helped create the Pro-Truth Pledge, which aims to encourage politicians to be more truthful. And he's an assistant professor in the history of behavioral science at The Ohio State University. You can join in with your reaction to the fake news awards, 800-642-1234. What do you think the effects of the fake news awards will be for the media? What do you think of holding an annual event like this? What does fake news mean to you? 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Troy, who joins us from Muskego. Hi, Troy.
Hello. Good morning. I would just like to say I think it scares the heck out of me. I think it's a threat to our democracy. I really associate it with cults and cult leaders, and how they have, there's a lot of parallelism there in that they like to have the direct contact with the people that are in their cult. And it's also, I think, telling of the people that it based, because I think these are people that want to be told the lies from him, because then maybe they don't have to deal with the reality of what he says. And it's easier just to use it, you know, he provides them basically with an excuse for them to, you know, that's called a confirmed bias, when people can, it confirms that they've made a good choice in voting for him by him just saying that everything's a lie and that the news is a lie.
Troy, thanks. Let's get Gleb's reaction.
So I think Troy has definitely some good insights about biases here, because it does play into our biases. Not simply the biases of Trump's base, who will naturally agree with much of the stuff that he says, but also into how media consumers consume the news. So most people, as I mentioned earlier on the show, are not savvy media consumers. They look at the headlines. And so whenever a news award or big sort of thing comes out, they look at the soundbite. And so here we talk a little, let's talk a little bit about the behavioral science of soundbites. We pay attention to what is available at the forefront of our minds. That's called the availability heuristic. So we pay too much attention to it, and we are primed, which is called the priming effects, to perceive too much connections between past and future. So people who aren't paying much attention will simply look at the headlines, which unfortunately are written in such a way as to convey the appearance that the fake news awards are legitimate, that they are something that is essential or salient. So you mentioned the Vox earlier. Then the headline for that article is "The Winners of Trump's Fake News Awards Annotated." And the same thing on Fox News or on Politico, Trump, the headline says, "Trump gives out fake news awards to CNN, New York Times, and Washington Post." Well, about 60% of readers only glance at headlines, and they will take away that CNN, New York Times, and Washington Post are fake news. That will be what's available. They will be primed to think that way. And so this is a huge problem for how media cover such awards.
In Behavioral Science Club, you discuss a concept called anchoring. Can you explain how that works in relation to how we consume information?
Sure. So anchoring is when we are first exposed to information about any idea, about any concept, we are attached to that initial information, and we perceive future information through the light of that information. So that's a very basic concept in behavioral science. We have that, we develop that lens. So if we look at, let's say, the Vox article about it, then we see that it describes the fake news awards that Donald Trump tweeted out, the fake news awards. If we look at the political article, it starts by talking about who got the awards. So again, people who first see the headline, so they get engaged with the headline, that's the first piece of anchoring. And then they get engaged with the first paragraph of the article. And many people don't read beyond the headline. The rest, many of them don't read beyond the first paragraph. The ones who do will still be influenced deeply by those headlines and that first paragraph, and they will carry away the wrong impression, unfortunately. So the structure of how articles are written, how media coverage on the awards is generally done, feeds into Trump's agenda of conveying that the news media are fake and they have the wrong information, and presents him as the authoritative voice of determining that.
Troy, thanks. Let's go to Greeley, who joins us from Mineral Point. Hi, Greeley.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I really appreciate this discussion. I'm a retired UW psychiatrist, actually. What I need to point out, I'm also a student of history, is that the form of government that we presently have in Washington is ever more increasingly resembling the final phases of the Roman government and other governments in history, which apparently a lot of people don't read anymore, namely a fascist government. And that word has all sorts of connotations, but what it actually means is a collection of all the major controlling elements in society: business, banking, the military, the government institutions, the judiciary, religion, education, etc. And the only thing we have left that's not bundled up into one element now is the free press, which Wisconsin has strong elements of in its some of its magazines and newspapers and in its programming and the public programming. This is all that's left that keeps us at this point from becoming a totally fascist state. And we can see that in the behavior of the Republicans. As they fall into order, they lie through their teeth. I mean,
so Greeley, what was your reaction to the publication, to publishing these fake news awards?
Well, Donald Trump, I'm a retired psychiatrist. Donald Trump is a classic paranoid. Every word that comes out of his mouth is actually about him. What he's actually saying is that he knows deep down inside he's a total fake. So every statement that he makes describing others is actually about himself.
Greeley, thank you. Let's let Gleb respond. Go ahead.
Sure. So I think what Greeley refers to is what in psychology is called projection, where you project your own personality on others with a fake. If you think that you are, what you're saying is falsehoods, you project others as saying falsehoods. And there is a little bit of that going on with Donald Trump. Although I can't say, I don't know him well enough to read his mind and to actually see what he thinks. It's possible he actually believes what he's saying. It's possible he's very strategic in manipulating people. So it's really hard to tell what exactly is going on in his head without a deeper conversation, a number of sessions, obviously, to figure that out. What we can observe is the consequences of his actions. You know, we don't know what's going on in his head, but we can see what he says and what he does. And what he says and what he does have the impact of deeply undermining the free press, really undermining it in deep ways. And we can see that a number of Republicans have called him out on it. Like I said, Flake and McCain and plenty of others, people in prominent positions. Mitch McConnell has called him out, who's the Senate Majority Leader. Paul Ryan, who's the Speaker of the House, has called him out on it. So we have prominent Republicans who call him out on it. So I would disagree a little bit that Republicans as a party are doing this. I think there are many honest Republicans who don't want this attack on the free press, who acknowledge and understand the invaluable role of the free press in our democracy to protect us from authoritarianism, to protect us from deceptions by politicians. And Donald Trump doesn't belong to that camp, unfortunately, within the Republican Party.
Gleb, attacks on the press corps there's a long history of that, and the Free Press Awards got me remembering in 2001, Governor Jesse Ventura of Minnesota, who would refer to reporters as jackals and wanted them to wear jackal press badges. Many news organizations objected to that. The Governor Jesse Ventura's office at that time in 2001 said they were rethinking that issue, but then the governor repeatedly called reporters jackals. So how do media organizations respond to attacks such as this?
So media organizations, unfortunately, haven't responded very well, and this is a big problem. So they don't know how to respond to it very well, for a couple of reasons. First of all, they want to maintain an aura of objectivity, that to perceive themselves as objective. They don't want to be the news. In other words, they want to report the news. So that makes it challenging. And they want to maintain a perception of equivalency. Well, if the Republicans do something bad, then we should talk about the Democrats doing something bad and vice versa. So this sort of mode of reporting breaks down in the face of the attacks on journalists, when a politician makes the media the target of her or his attack. So that typical mode of reporting, unfortunately, doesn't work well in that sort of environment. That's one. It also doesn't work very well in a social media environment. Right now, we have an information ecosystem that's broken. So right now, politicians are able to get to their audiences through social media. And extensive studies show that people are really terrible at telling what is true, what is accurate on social media. So, for example, a Stanford University study shows that 80% of their subjects who are savvy social media users, students, couldn't tell apart paid content from advertising on paid advertising content from real content on news websites. So people are really bad at telling apart what is real, what is not, on social media, on digital media, and that makes it really easy for politicians to manipulate people and to undermine the news.
We're talking about the Fake News Awards with Gleb Ziberski, who stays with us. He's an assistant professor in the history of behavioral science at The Ohio State University. You can join this conversation about the Fake News Awards. What do you think of them? Were they warranted? Do they send a message? Will they change in any way how you consume news? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Tom now, who joins us from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
Mr. Trump has had a friendship with the publisher of the National Enquirer for many, many years down in Florida. And I just wonder if maybe some of the National Enquirer philosophy has pushed off on Mr. Trump. My feeling on this thing, it is becoming comical. The whole thing is comical, like the awards they had for the worst dressed person in the world or something that comes out. And maybe one way to approach dealing with the fake news, laughter might beat laughter. I don't know.
Tom, thank you so much. Let's get Gleb to respond.
So, indeed, several news comics, as was mentioned earlier in the program, satire, Samantha Bee and so on, Stephen Colbert, Trevor Noah, have mocked the awards. And their mockery really appeals to savvy news consumers, people who are trying to consume news, who really pay a lot of attention to the news. That's unfortunately not most Americans. So most Americans don't pay close attention to the news at all. And that's not the way they consume their news. And so for these people, they will just get the bare impression of, you know, oh, hey, fake news, who was awarded? CNN was awarded, Washington Post, New York Times, that means bad. That's the kind of quick intuitive reactions that we get. And in fact, unfortunately, the kind of coverage that media have of these awards, as was mentioned before, will only perpetuate this narrative, because the standard coverage, Trump has figured out well how to play the media game and how to play into the standard media coverage. So for example, studies reveal that the standard way that journalists correct people's misconceptions with accurate facts backfires in the long term. So if you first state the false information and then provide evidence of why this false information is wrong, people over time tend to forget why the information is wrong and misremember the facts. So if we look at the way that the Washington Post fact checker or the Vox fact checker fact checks the fake news awards, they first say what the award was awarded for, so Paul Krugman or so on, and then provide the corrective information. Unfortunately, people who briefly scan for that article will tend to misremember the original information as accurate and the correction as inaccurate. So this is a problem with media coverage. We can't really do anything about the way that Donald Trump has issues the fake news awards or his statements, but the media can do something about the way they cover it so they don't keep falling into the same traps over and over and over again and perpetuating President Donald Trump's attacks on the media.
Gleb, I want to read you the first paragraph of the New York Times piece on President Trump's fake news awards. It reads, President Trump, who gleefully questioned President Barack Obama's birthplace for years without evidence, long insisted on the guilt of the Central Park Five despite exonerating proof and claimed that millions of illegal ballots cost him the popular vote in 2016, wanted to have a word with the American public about accuracy in reporting. The story then goes on to describe the winners and what they won for making corrections to the awards inaccuracies along the way. Would you say that fits the bill for following behavioral science rules for media?
I wouldn't really say that fits the bill very well at all, because the first point was only appealing. It would only speak to the very small fraction of an audience, of the audience who actually pay attention to Donald Trump's, who know what the issues are, what's going on, and most people don't. So the way that I would strongly suggest a news article starts about this topic is explaining that the fake news awards are meant to undermine the media, to perpetuate Donald Trump's battle with the media and undermine the media, and then explain the correct information and then explain what the awards are about. So that would be a much more effective way with a headline saying something like, in yet another round of battle with the media, Donald Trump issues the fake news awards. So that would appeal to the large majority, to the majority of the people, 60% or so, who scan the headlines, and then the first, you know, the smaller proportion who just go for the first paragraph, and then the small proportion of consumers who actually read the whole news story.
The fake news award started as a way for President Trump to criticize the media, but they also drew sweeping condemnations from the president's critics within his own party, including two Republican senators from Arizona, John McCain and Jeff Flake. We're talking about the fake news awards with Gleb Ziberski, an assistant professor at The Ohio State University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Back after this news. Reaction from news media outlet Vox on the fake news awards. Quote, Trump's media criticism is so frequent that it's become background noise in his presidency. Some media outlets have even capitalized on it, Vox says, using the president's antipathy to the press to burnish their reputations and sell subscriptions. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're pausing to consider what the fake news awards mean to the American psyche. Gleb Ziebersky is an assistant professor in the history of behavioral science at The Ohio State University. Your insights and questions are welcome at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the fake news awards? Will the fake news awards change your news consumption in any way? Join the conversation, 800-642-1234. Send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to Jeff now, who joins us from Windsor. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Well, I think I didn't hear this fake news awards thing until I just turned on the radio this morning listening to y'all. And personally, I think Democratic news agencies have done nothing but try to slam dunk President Trump since he won the election, because who they wanted to get up there didn't make it. It all pissed off. That was very obvious when the election results were founded or broadcast. Half of them looked like they were ready to break down in tears.
So, Jeff, do you think these fake news awards then were warranted?
Yeah.
Let's get Gleb's reaction. Gleb, go ahead. Jeff is just seeing a press that is focused on a series of gotchas.
Right. Thank you for sharing, Jeff. I think it's telling that Jeff hasn't heard about the fake news awards till now, and Jeff is a typical representative of very many people who I was mentioning earlier, who don't pay close attention to the news because the fake news awards has been extensively covered in the news for a while now. And so people who just get a glimpse of the fake news awards and who agree with Donald Trump would intuitively agree that, oh, fake news, you know, Washington Post, CNN, New York Times, that's what the headlines are about. And that's the kind of things that they would associate with the opponents of Donald Trump. Whereas in reality, you have a lot of Republicans, like we don't mention two high prominent senators, Flake and McCain, who condemn these fake news awards. It is not a Republican versus Democrat thing. It is within the Republican Party, there's a clear split of many people, prominent people, who are coming out and saying that these fake news awards and generally Donald Trump's war on the press, attempts to undermine the free press, are unprecedented in our society and really harm our democracy. So this is a big problem, and it's not a partisan problem. It is a problem of attacks on the media, and how do we maintain our democracy in the face of these attacks on the free media, along with the press not actually covering the awards and not adapting to the new environment, to the new ecosystem, both of social media and of behavioral science around how people actually consume the news.
So,
and this
Gleb,
is what, yes.
So, Gleb, how does one be a savvy news consumer in this day and age?
So I think one really needs to evaluate what news one can consider credible and see whether that news venue actually retracts news stories that were problematic, as the vast majority of pretty much all the news venues that Donald Trump labeled as fake news with his fake news awards have actually done. They have actually retracted the incorrect news stories. So whereas a large number of news sources don't. On the left, Occupy Democrats would be a prominent one that doesn't retract false stories that it publishes even after they're called out. On the right, Breitbart.com doesn't retract those news stories. So those shouldn't be trusted, the ones that don't retract false news stories. That's one. Second, see whether the stories are aligned with credible fact checkers, the ones that committed to the Poynter Institute quality standards. And these are things like factcheck.org, PolitiFact, and Snopes, and several others. So see if they align with those stories.
But this takes time and energy,
yes.
Gleb. This takes time. It takes focus. We don't have that type of time in our society, right?
We don't. And this is one of the reasons that I and others created the Pro-Truth Pledge at protruthpledge.org. So this is a way to unite everyone who cares about the facts, private citizens and public figures alike. And public figures, we mean journalists, we mean politicians, academics, CEOs, anyone. So the pro-truth pledge is a nice way to do that, because anyone who takes it, any public figure, any journalists, can display the pro-truth pledge banner on their website, on their bylines, and indicate that they're being fact-checked by volunteers from the pro-truth pledge, private citizens who sign the pledge, who care about truth and facts, and who hold these journalists and politicians and so on accountable. So you know that anyone who has signed the pro-truth pledge, you can trust their reporting, because otherwise they would be called out and they would be, the pro-truth pledge banner would be revoked. It's sort of like the Better Business Bureau except for truthfulness in public discourse. So that's an important aspect of the pro-truth pledge. And I encourage anyone who cares about the facts and truth to go to protruthpledge.org and sign the pledge and help hold folks accountable.
Let's go back to the phones now. Jeff, thank you for your call. Let's go to Tony now in Kenosha. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
So I wanted to share a couple of things. One is that I think it's a complete waste of time and very silly of the President of the United States to take time and host whatever they call it, the fake news awards or whatever. But if you're going to be serious about it, let's, you know, actually bring to focus things like RT or Sputnik or any type of other conspiracy theory promoting news services. In my opinion, that could be Rush Limbaugh. You know, it's all hype. But the second part of what I wanted to share was that I think in some ways, until Trump came into the presidency, or I guess starting of the campaign, people didn't really talk a whole bunch about fake news. I mean, people knew what was true and what was not. But I think this might be an opportunity for people to start asking the questions, or maybe even teach in school systems, what's a legitimate news service, or what can be considered a legitimate news service, just like your guest was talking earlier, what can be fact-checked, what cannot be fact-checked, what's the difference between tabloid news and all these hype-creating news services versus real news? And, of course, Trump is going after CNN because, first of all, they are all 24/7, they're talking about the same topic, but more so that's a way of getting more information out of this ongoing Russian investigation.
Tony, thank you so much for the call and the observations. Gleb, sounds like Tony is shaping a course here.
Yes, and I think it's been wonderful to actually observe a number of states pass bipartisan legislation supported by a number of Republicans as well as Democrats to teach media literacy. As I said, this is a bipartisan effort. This is not a Republican versus Democrat thing. There are plenty of Republicans who want better media literacy. And there are plenty of Republicans who don't like these attacks on the media and on free press. So yes, before Trump came, before the campaign, there wasn't much talk about fake news because it wasn't nearly as problematic an issue. It wasn't part of the mainstream dialogue in America to have people in prominent areas of public office who would attack the media in this way. Now, there were a number of people like Jesse Ventura, certainly at state levels, but not in the mainstream national conversations. So this is a big problem, and this is one of the reasons, and this is actually a global trend. So we see a number of people around the world doing this. I mentioned Recep Erdogan and so on, Vladimir Putin. This is why the Committee to Protect Journalists recently issued, actually in response to Trump's fake news awards, its Press Oppressors Awards. So for global leaders who have done a great deal to undermine the norms of freedom of the media and freedom of the press. And folks who are interested can go to cpj.org and check out the Press Oppressors Awards and who won those.
Let's squeeze in one last call here. Peter in Adams County. Hi, Peter. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, my concern is if we continue to allow this shenanigans to go on, it actually undermines this country. A lot of other countries look up to the United States for leadership and stuff like that. But as you can see, when they start discrediting the president and the government and any other thing, that the other countries actually look at us like we are a mockery. And what the other part I was going to say is, I think what they should do is, anybody who puts out fake news or whatever, they should be barred. They should be fired, just like everybody else. If you get caught cheating on a test.
Peter, we're short on time, and I want to get Gleb in for a few words here before we wrap up. Gleb, go ahead.
Yes, I think this Peter is absolutely right that a number of other world leaders are now following America's example. We had a couple of world leaders who were doing this beforehand, Putin and Erdogan, as I mentioned. But now America was previously the bastion of democracy, the bastion of freedom. America has now lost that. There's no way of regaining that under President Donald Trump if he continues to behave this way. So right now we are no longer the global leader of democracy and freedom of the press. And because we're not supporting this norm, democracy and freedom of the press is breaking down around the world.
Gleb, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Gleb Ziberski is an assistant professor in the history of behavioral science at The Ohio State University and president of the nonprofit Intentional Insights. He also helped create the Pro-Truth Pledge, which aims to encourage politicians to be more civil and truthful. This hour of the morning show was produced by Colleen Leahy, Nyasia Ellison, and Brianne Shasso. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Ideas Network.